This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to start out talking about a new book is out. Our good friend Jack Ebling has written a new book called Tales from the Detroit Tigers Dugout, a collection of some of the Tigers' greatest stories ever told. Some have been passed to him. So we'll bring in Jack and talk about his new book. Jack, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, how you doing?
Okay. I know this book took you a couple of years to write. Was it a labor of love?
Well, this is actually a continuation of something we started back in 2006, and we've updated it over the last 5 years, added a lot of stuff about last year and the pennant race, and really brought people up to speed on Detroit Tigers history and a lot about this current team.
Yes, because the current team, everyone, as you know, everyone is concerned with the Tigers' current team because they haven't taken off the way that people thought they would.
Are you concerned? Are you thinking that maybe they're not going to win this division?
I'm starting to. You know, you have to wait till at least a quarter of the season gets through. You have to see some games. And we've seen a quarter of the season. And, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. I mean, yes, they can still do it. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, I think you have to be a little concerned because this team isn't hitting consistently. It's been very inconsistent at a hitting team. The bullpen has been very inconsistent, and that's why you have a win one, loss one, win one, lose one. They haven't put together a streak at all this year, but, you know, there's still time to get it together, but they've got some competition. Cleveland and Chicago are giving them some competition now. I mean, we thought it was going to be Detroit in a runaway, and they still might run away with it, but, I'm a little bit worried at this point.
I think Detroit's played about as bad as it can, and it's still right there, but really has played very poor baseball for what the Tigers are capable of doing. So I look for a much different last three quarters of the season. Right now they're making so many mistakes, Earl. I mean,
yes.
You see it in every phase of play, and kind of fortunate they are where they are.
Yes, they left 11 runners on base last night. I mean, Ubaldo Jimenez, who was supposed to be a good pitcher for Cleveland, walked eight batters last night, and they didn't score one run from those eight batters. They had about five hits, 13, and they got one run out of all that.
Wow.
So it's getting scary out there for fans right now. Everyone's wondering what's wrong with the Tigers, and I know everyone's calling for Jim Leland to be fired. But as you know, Jack, I've never seen it. Maybe you've seen it. I've never seen it when you fire a manager in midseason that the team turns around automatically or turns around right away.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that they've quit on Jim Leland. I think that they still have a lot of respect for him. Yeah, that's not the problem. So they just need to do what they're capable of doing. And, you know, you see situations where guys you know are going to hit a little bit better than they have, just haven't done it. When they've had pitching, they haven't had hitting. When they've had hitting, they haven't had pitching.
Right.
So, they just need to put it together. And we're going to talk a lot of baseball tomorrow night, Earl.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be over at Everybody Reads Books and Stuff. At 2019 East Michigan, across from Amos. And we're going to be over there from 7 to 9 signing the book and talking baseball and probably talking a little college football, too.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, tell us a few stories from the new book, Tales from the Detroit Tigers Dugout. I know you had added some recently. Tell us a few things that you've added to the book in case someone didn't buy it the earlier edition.
You know, it's funny because the day that we had to get the book to the printer, the last time we could touch it, mm-hmm. just happened to be the afternoon when the Tigers got Prince Fielder.
Oh.
So we had about an hour and a half with that news to make some changes and rewrite some things and dig back into the memory vault. But I remember Prince Fielder being here and taking batting practice, hitting the ball into the upper deck, I remember seeing Tito Francona throwing the ball to him, and I thought then, you know, that kid's got a really good swing. He's, you know, kind of chubby and doesn't look like he's an athlete, but he certainly became one. So those memories are vivid, but thinking back on the Tigers, you can't think about Detroit without talking about Al Kaline, and I had a great chance to talk with Al about how he became a Tiger, what that experience was all about. Willie Horton, of course, in terms of the black players in Tiger history, has to really rank right up there. And he talked a little bit about being staying home and playing for his team, and how he used to hide in the dumpster down at Old Tiger Stadium, and then he would sneak into the field. And once he got caught, and you know, we can turn him over to the authorities, and you know, intervened on his behalf was an Indians outfielder and Rocky Colavito. And then, of course, Rocky Colavito got traded to the Tigers, and that's the guy whose job Willie Horton took. So it's a small world, but a lot of those kinds of stories, and we follow some of the great characters. One thing the Tigers have had, about Norm Cash and Mark Fidrich and Denny McClain, and they've had some wild characters, and we get to know them a little bit better, too.
Yes, Mark Fidrich was a great one. As you know, he had that one shining moment, that one right. One-year wonder. He was great. How was he to talk to?
Oh, he was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Even after he was done, he would think it would be such an honor if you would go up and talk to him. And you know a lot of professional athletes and big-time athletes, and they just can't be bothered.
Yeah.
You know, he's the kind of guy who would walk up and start talking to you and asking you about your day. So he was really a common guy, and, you know, to die the way he did is tragic, but being on his farm and working on a truck, and there's really nothing else Mark Fidrich would rather do except throw baseball.
What about the real puzzling one? I know you and I had many discussions about him in his past, Denny McClain.
Yeah, Denny is his own worst enemy, and the kind of guy who really had a lot of success. You know, we talk about the last 30-game winner, but that was a stretch, 6-7 years, where he's as good as any pitcher spent in the last half century. The problem is that he always found a way to mess it up, and really didn't have any self-discipline. Finally wound up getting in trouble with some people who stomped on his foot. We talk a little bit about that story and how his career really wasn't what it could have been. You know, you see guys, Earl, in any walk of life, and they get everything out of it they can. And then you see guys who just waste potential. And as good as Denny McClain was, it's scary to think how good he could have been.
Yes, yeah, he certainly could have been one of the best. He could have been even a bigger winner than what he was. I mean, yeah, that 30-game record, that's going to stand, as we know, for a long time, because I don't think we'll ever see someone else win 30 games, in all honesty.
And, you know, he and Mickey Lolich both have a lot to talk about in terms of 1968. That was McClain's shining season with 31-6, but Mickey wins the 3 games in the World Series and is a postseason hero, so... those two never really got along, and finally they're going to the All-Star game together, and McClain has his pilot's license, and he says to Lolich, so just come with me, and we'll fly over there. And so Lolich thinks, oh, well, that's nice of him. So he agrees to do that, and they fly there. McClain starts the game, and Lolich is in the bullpen, and he looks up in about the 6th inning, and there goes McClain and his plane flying home. Just left him there.
Oh, geez. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
We talk a lot about that in terms of those kinds of things. You know, Willie Horton, we talk a lot about the city of Detroit and the importance of the Tigers to the city. And what happened in the riots in 1967, and they're playing a doubleheader that Sunday. When things really ignited in the city of Detroit. And Horton's standing out there, and he sees all the smoke coming from over the left field foul line. And he thinks, you know, geez, maybe a lumber yard or something caught on fire. So as soon as the game was over, they told him, don't even change, just go home. Just get in your cars and go straight home. Well, home for him is right into the heart of the riots. So he's standing on top of his car in his baseball uniform, trying to get the rioters to disperse. And they're telling him, Willie, go home. This isn't your fight. So, you know, they didn't want him to get hurt, but he wasn't going to be powerful enough to break it up at that point. It had gone too far.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a very important story. What about today, though? We've got a hero that the fans can really relate to, and he relates good to people, and that's Justin Verlander.
Absolutely. Justin Verlander is on the cover of the book, and doesn't it feel like every time he pitches, you could be seeing history? I mean, the other night even, when they lost the no-hitter in the ninth inning, he's just so charismatic out on the mound, and when he is on, he's almost unhittable.
Yep.
I would have to say he's the best pitcher I've seen in terms of being a Tiger, and a lot of people would tell you Hal Newhouser certainly had his moments. I know he did back in the 40s, but when you think of what Justin Verlander has done and how much baseball he has ahead of him, there's no pitcher in baseball I'd rather have right now.
Yes, I definitely believe that he is the best pitcher in the American League right now. And, he's just outstanding, great control. He can change his velocity. I mean, he can throw a ball 100 miles per hour in the ninth inning. A lot of pitchers can't do that. He starts out 80s and 90s and just builds, and he keeps that velocity, and then when it gets to the eighth, ninth inning, he can still smoke the ball. So you have to take your hats off to Justin.
Yeah, and he has the perfect demeanor. Earl, he's very confident in what he does, but he's also aware that these are major league hitters. I mean, he just can't go out there and throw junk up there. So he takes it very seriously, and the Tigers have been good with him. They don't stretch him too much. I think they're very concerned about the long term with him, and I would expect you're going to see him for the next 6 to 10 years be as good as any pitcher in the game.
Yeah, I would think he's got a great chance, that's for sure. And the changes, who knows how much pitching will change. I mean, we know that pitchers can pitch it longer now, and the pitchers a lot of time lose their arms, they have health issues. They're dealing better with that. So eventually, I mean, yeah, he could have 7 or 8 really good, strong years. And, even though I think he can probably pitch another 10 years, he's, 29 now? So, yeah, he's got his best years are probably ahead of him.
You know, you see Steven Strasburg, and he has an innings count, not just a pitch count. They're talking about he's not going to throw more than 160 innings, and if they have to shut him down in a World Series, he's not going to throw more than 160 innings. Well, Justin Verlander is a comparative Iron Man, but if you think about someone like Mickey Lolich, I mean, there's a guy, and he pitched every fourth day, and he was averaging more than 8 innings a start, averaging. So you're talking about a guy close to 400 innings in the season. It's amazing that he had the rubber arm he did.
Yes, he did. He had a great one. Hey, Jack, it's a pleasure talking with you. You know, we're going to talk some more about this book for with you later on. And
can check it out on Amazon if anyone's interested in that, or we'd love to see it tomorrow night, 7 to 9, over at Everybody Reads.
Everybody Reads tomorrow night from 7 to 9. Hopefully you can make it over there. I'll probably be down at the baseball game, with the Diamond Classics going on now. So I'll be down there. But, go on over there to Everybody Reads and see Jack tomorrow night, and he'll definitely sign you a copy of the book. Nice cover with it, The Tales from the Detroit Tigers Dugout, with Justin Verlander on the cover. Hey, Jack, I want to thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend.
Take care, Earl.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Jack Ebling talking with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We're going to talk a little bit of health and physical fitness today. Haven't had a chance to talk very much with Steve Morgan recently, but we're going to do that shortly. But stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Cory Booker turns stomachs at the White House. Arizona demands the president's birth certificate. Arkansas and Kentucky wrap up their primaries. Ron Paul supporters take over another state. And a court challenge to Senate filibuster rules. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us. Plus, lessons from a reluctant couch surfer. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAI.
This is Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. It'll be sunny today with a high in the upper 70s. Tonight, mostly clear skies, the overnight low 58. Sunny tomorrow, the high will be 84 degrees. And on Friday, there's a chance we'll get some rain and thunderstorms with a high in the mid-80s.
And we're going to talk more sports with Steve Morgan. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Let's bring our guest, Steve Morgan. Steve, how you been doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How you been doing?
Yeah, okay. Been a little bit busy, but yeah, been doing okay. We've got a lot been going on, Steve.
Oh my goodness! How about them Spurs?
Yes, the Spurs are really kicking tail, and got to congratulate Sexton one more time. They got it. You know, they were ranked in the top 10 nationally by one organization of the top 10 high school basketball teams in the country. They just got another award for that this past week.
Oh, that's outstanding. You know, the only problem with that is I wish we could have played some of them teams.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
That would have been real. Yeah, exactly. That would have been real nice outside of an AAU environment to see a structured game with some of these guys with all this hype behind their name.
Yep, that's true.
But, Earl, I tell you, the weather just makes you want to go outside. I was just downtown Lansing at a friend's place. He's renovating a bar. And they're setting up outdoor, and you should see the people walking around downtown.
Yeah, they had something going on today downtown, too, for the veterans and such. I know I just saw it on the news here, on the 12 o'clock news.
And for anybody that's going to be outside, if you're listening and you're participating, in any of the outdoor activities today, make sure you stay well hydrated. That does not include alcoholic beverages. It only includes water. Gatorade and such, a little Powerade. I know it's loaded with sugar, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah. I know we haven't talked about it, but we've talked just between us. We've had it a few times. But heat stroke is a big problem, especially it's starting to warm up a lot right around now. This is going to be a very hot weekend, so people should definitely be very careful.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, the warning signs are excessive sweating, and then you all of a sudden – you're not sweating anymore. You get the cold shakes. You start to see those little stars out in front of you. For those of you who haven't seen it, they're flickers. For the other athletes and people that have trained on the edge, you know what they look like. You know the familiar signs. You need to immediately seek shade, fluids, and then a little bit of carbohydrate to go down. A Skittle or two wouldn't hurt. If you like your Jolly Ranchers, parents, I'm not promoting sugar all the time, but I'm just talking about in extreme cases. Otherwise, we'd like to do it with just simple carbohydrates from vegetables and also from fruit.
Yes, and that's the thing. We've mixed a lot more of eating right and eating healthy in the previous few years, Steve. I know we didn't do that much in the early years, but these last few years, we've really been turning the attention to eating right and eating properly, because we know obesity has become so big in our culture, especially so big here in Michigan. And we try to have people just eat reasonable and don't overeat and don't overdo it. Those are things I guess we'll just have to constantly keep hitting more over the head with.
Oh, you can't hear it enough. I mean, it's in all of mainstream media, from cartoons, who they make jokes about being large versus skinny. So kids are bombarded with it early on, but it doesn't seem to do anything because the action is not there. It's ridiculed, and yet, the action, and there's education about it in the schools, not as much as necessary, in my opinion, and in a lot of professionals' opinions. Nonetheless, this stems from the home front, or the lack thereof, and you've got to get it at home. Parents, if you're listening, you really have got to buckle down on the sugars. And the sugars are really what's taking us over the edge. I mean, so you're not getting McDonald's, but yet they're having two or three candy bars a day. They're, on top of having their regular fructose, they're getting additional sugars found in oatmeal. Your cinnamon raisin oatmeal has sugar.
I mean, it's just hidden. It's everywhere.
And that has become a very big problem with that, Stephen. The thing is, hopefully, well, people will not just listen to us. They'll take some of the things you're saying to heart and act on them. Because we've been doing this for a long, long time, and sometimes it seems like people. Sometimes I know I think that people really aren't listening to us, and sometimes I think they are. But yeah, we could use a lot more people giving us a helping hand, and especially with kids, with the way it is now with kids. Do you see now when I know you work out and you have a gym, and when you go to other gyms and everything, do you see more kids being starting to be involved in working out and being active, or is it a lesser?
I see when I have the opportunity, Earl, as you know. I mean, we try to stay at home pretty much because we have a large number of kids now, and they run in different seasons, and so there's a year-round emphasis more so on the strength and conditioning. That I have noticed at the upper ends. At the lower ends, when I go to public gyms, what I see a lot of is unsupervised kids, and that's not good. They're doing some things, but if they're not getting hurt from the unsupervised strength training, what happens is they're not getting any results. So therefore, they're going to lose motivation very quickly. And so now you had an opportunity to capture them, but you missed it because you didn't supervise. So that's what I see at the majority of public gyms. There are a few classes that are offered, but just because it's on the menu doesn't mean that kids are taking it. And that's another thing. When parents see facilities, you got to see what the numbers are in the classes before you just sign your kid up. See how many kids are actually going to the thing before you sign your kid up, and then you got to try to get your money back because your son or daughter's not very pleased with it. And you want a strong educational component. You can sweat and all that good stuff and get their heart rate up, but you got to explain to them why they're doing it and the benefits and then how to prolong the activity. So it's not just a fleeting moment in time.
Yes, and that's something I guess we all have to work on, is helping kids and everyone get motivated to keep working out. Just don't start, or if you get bored, you have to find your own motivation within yourself. You can't rely, and I think that's probably a key part of the problem, Steve. We're always looking for someone else to motivate us or someone else to do it for us instead of looking inside and trying to motivate ourselves.
Yeah, and the kids really, that should be who we're reaching out to at this point, because they're in a state. It's really an epidemic, Earl. Mm-hmm. There's no question. It's an epidemic. I mean, just look. Just go out, look around you. I mean, I'm sitting outside right now looking down the street, and there's four people coming towards me, and three of them are overweight. I can see it from here. They're large people.
Yes.
And this is what we got, and it's getting worse. And they're acting like it's not really a problem. They act like we're picking on a group of people, on a particular demographic. And I don't see it that way at all. I mean, we have the statistics to show that obesity chronically affects humans in enormously detrimental ways. It is bad for the operation on the heart, your organs, your internal organs, the potential risk increase because of the types of foods that increase your obesity levels. So, it's not a group of people in society that are just turning on another group of people. I mean, there's substantial statistical information that validates that overweight or obesity, and I know the two are not the same. You can be overweight and not be obese. I understand that. I do body composition tests every day. I understand the difference. But what I'm seeing is a lot of obese kids, and they're high-performance athletes. But yet when they come in, they're 27 to 32% body fat on average until they were with us for over a year. And then we take them down into the low nines, I mean the high nines, the low tens, to get more performance out of them, because we realize the benefits not only from a performance standpoint but for a wellness standpoint, so that the kid gets good habits. You don't luck up and be fat.
Right.
Okay, unlike what people think. You have to try.
Yeah, you have to do a lot of eating.
It's a lot of eating. I like people that say, I don't eat enough to be fat after I give them their test results. You're arguing with numbers. I mean, it is what it is, and they still won't accept it. So, you know, we're fighting an uphill battle. You know, we have to continue as a society as a whole to continue to comfort those that need comfort and push those that need to be pushed and who are capable of being pushed and know the difference between the two. And that's the only way we're going to get anywhere. But to be passive on this matter is only going to increase the exposure and the acceptability of it. You know, enlarging your first class seats on the plane, not a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To say it's for comfort when really the average size of your passenger has increased 17% to 22% over the last 2 years, it's not for comfort. It's because you're trying to accommodate a large mass of people that are chronically obese. And by doing so, you're accepting that fact. And you're penalizing other people who are not.
Hey, Steve, my producer who called you up there sent me a question here. He says, what can parents do for their children with schools cutting physical fitness or gym classes?
Well, the number one thing is that you have to set up exercise time at the home front. You set up study time. You set up quiet time. You set up play time. Well, you need exercise time. And then you need to select your workout and put a routine together. If you have no experience with this and you're extremely uncomfortable with it, then give us a call or other people like us in the business that work with kids so we can help you with that. You know, we'll charge you a fair fee and you'll pay for it like you go to a discount tire when you need a tire. Well, you need a tire because the ones that you got right now aren't working for the kids. And if we give them the proper structure, and it doesn't have to be expensive, Earl. You know that I'm not expensive.
Yeah.
We work with people from $10 to $30 a session. You know, whatever you can afford in most cases, you know, we don't try to beat you over the head. You know, we give you a program that's affordable for you, and then you can use it for as long as you want. You know, and but at least in the onset, now you have structure. And that structure will allow you to make progress and stay motivated. And that goes double for kids. It's very important. Our little ones look forward to it. They know on Thursdays that they have pizza night, but before they get the pizza, they got to train.
Yeah,
you got to train. You got to do your push-ups. You got to do your stuff. I mean, I'm sorry, but this is just the way it is. You want the reward? Do the work.
Do you find that's hard getting people hard? Is that very difficult getting people to do the work? Is that becoming harder or is it getting a little easier?
In the last 10 years, it's getting easier to initiate. I see people initiating fitness programs, all in all, Earl, on an anecdotal level. But really, they don't stick with it. So it's a falsehood. So they're in, and then after 6 weeks, you know, 8 weeks, they're out. You know, for various reasons, I lost my job or my car. I'm taking public transportation now. You know, I got my stepkid now on the weekends. I can't make it. You know, I mean, things just miraculously pop. It's amazing. Anything but fitness, anything but taking care of yourself in a prevention mode. It just seems to be, you know, over the last 10 years, you know, I see them entering, but I see them exiting, you know?
And you know, Steve, you know, me with myself, as you know, getting older is, you know, and seeing this stuff and reading this stuff, you know, I realize more. The older we get, in general, you know, we should have to do more. Well, we can't. Some of us just can't do more, but we need to just do something to keep moving, to keep the body fit. Just do something to keep your parts moving, or your moving parts moving.
You know, that's so true. I mean, caloric expenditure is caloric expenditure. I mean, your body only distinguishes between aerobic and anaerobic. It doesn't distinguish between, you know, whether you're dancing or whether you're bouncing around in front of the television doing aerobics. I mean, it's not too particular. It's the activity. And we've always preached that, you know, for 15 years. You know, we've preached activity and going to continue. That's why I even lowered the standards to accept, you know, everyone beat me over the head about walking. Oh, I walk and lost 10 pounds. Well, I've spoken to a lot of those people, and they're large again. Okay? Okay? And they're still walking. All right? So it wasn't the fact that they didn't comply. It's just what I kept telling people, walking ain't exercise. And this is what you have to do to get from point A to point B. And you need to do more. You need to ask your body to do more if you want to go ahead and combat the amount of calories that you're consuming in a day with hidden sugars. I'm not blaming anyone. You know, heck, I do it myself. You know, but I don't yo-yo. I don't go 15, 25-pound swings.
Yeah.
You know, I go 3 pounds one way, I'll fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I'm still doing
about
that.
3 days.
Hey,
yes, sir.
Hey, Steve, I got a young man with me, Aaron Young, my new producer. Let's bring him in here because he's sitting over there looking very intensely as he's listening to you talk. So I'm assuming, Aaron, you have a question or two for Steve.
Yeah, maybe, but I was just curious, you know, someone, I guess my generation of a younger age, you know, a lot of people tend to sit on the computer a lot, you know, tend to sit a lot more than what, you know, people used to grow up in farms that, you know, people are growing up now in the city more. I mean, what do you recommend for people maybe that sit a lot? I mean, I know people have said to get up every couple hours. Does that seem to work?
Yeah, that's nice. Just from a circulatory standpoint, that helps. But remember, your muscles are pumps. You know, they receive blood. And when you contract and whatnot, they pump blood. So, I mean, to get up and do something simple as chair squats or even to push up off your chair, be careful, you know, push it up against the wall so it doesn't get away from you if it has wheels and whatnot. But, you know, even to push off the ones that have the arms for your triceps and anterior deltoid is good. You know, activity, you know, once again, is just, you know, just careful, controlled movements. Try to establish a base by widening your feet and turning your toes slightly out, keeping your feet flat whilst you're doing things, unless you're trying to do some type of power movement where you're leaving the ground. And if you're a novice or a beginner, I wouldn't advise that, for anything. So, you know, I think with the basic movements, an air ball would be great in an office environment. It allows a multitude of exercises to be done in a 4x6 space. So 24 square feet. So anything could be had. It really can. And that's why I really have taken the high road on this thing, you know, for so long about the excuses. I've heard them all. And the adults are so they go on the offensive, and attack you once you start to use the words like excuses. And these are tender words with adults. Because they pride themselves in managing their time, correct? You're an adult. How dare you tell me that I don't know what I'm doing? Yeah, but I'm just looking at you. You're wearing your answer to my question. You've already lost the argument in a logical format because your premise has been defeated. Please stop. You know, if you're an adult, just understand logic, if nothing else. Quit being so defensive.
Right. And why do you think they make those excuses, even though they know the risk and what could possibly happen?
I really don't. That's a question, as Earl will tell you, I defer all the time on the show. And that's the point where you're getting into the psychological aspect of why people make decisions and why they fend things off. And those are questions that, as a trainer, I just don't have the training to even speculate on.
So Aaron, you've learned a little bit more today. Aaron's a young lad in his early 20s. So, you know, he doesn't do a ton of exercising. I kid him about that. But, he looks pretty good. But he could probably do a little bit more.
Yeah, we could always do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
sure.
I made use of, Aaron, I'm sorry, real quick, just to give you an example of making use of your time. I mean, we have a 6-year-old. And yesterday the weather was wonderful. I come home from a day of physical because I'm always lifting. As Earl will tell you, I pick up thousands of pounds per day, depending on which clients I'm dealing with. You know, and then I'm spotting other people's body weight. So I'm a little tired when I get home, to say the least. And he wants to go out, and he wants to go to the Waverly Hill because it's up the street from our house, and he wants to get his bike out and go up, you know, put his helmet on and try going down. We must have did it 6 times. And every time I have to go faster up the hill or it's not satisfactory. You know, if he's not getting wind blowing through his hair, he's not a happy camper. So, you know, just to tell you, you know, that this is just a part of my lifestyle. It is just a part of my lifestyle. It's a part of my family's lifestyle. And I would never say no to them if they want me to do something. However, other adults will always say no to physical activity. They will put their kids in front of a TV and they will sit there in the other room and pretending to be doing work for hours on end. It's ridiculous, okay? When you could just get out in the yard and do something. You don't have to pay for that.
Yeah, so, you know, we talk about that all the time, Stephen. Sometimes we do have to wonder, you know, are we hitting enough people? Are people really understanding what we've been saying, what we talk about for the most part, you know, because... You know, because you know, I'm not a golfer, and a lot of my friends try to get me out on the golf course, but I've never been one to golf, and it's a nice form of exercise. It's a little different kind of exercise, but that's just something different. But that I just haven't been able to take part in. It takes up a lot of time for me.
If you play golf in a cart, you burn just as many calories as you do shooting pool in a pool hall for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean it's dumbfounding. Now, if you walk. Golf is like on the same level as like curling in terms of caloric activity. Curling is an Olympic sport. So those guys that are curling the 40 ounces out there, well, they're actually on par with some Olympic athletes if they're walking carrying their own bag. So I'm giving you ammunition if you're out there playing golf. Just start walking and you can have a few more brews.
Yeah. Don't leave the cart alone.
Leave the cart alone. I know the golf course managers hate me when I say it. You know, the course managers, because they make a ton of money off of carts, whatever. Mm-hmm. But from a societal standpoint, you know, they complain about the number of hours that, you know, I mean, number of rounds that they're able to get through. It's just strictly a money-making deal, and we understand that. But if we really gave a darn about our health, we would mandate that you had to walk. Unless you had some type of affliction or a handicap sticker, you know, we would do that for society. We would do that for you. But instead, we allow you, and when we benefit from you, decreasing your health and your wellness level by riding in a cart and not walking the 18 holes.
Yeah. I know
it's profound.
Yeah, I know. I noticed a few years ago, Steve, when we were talking, how people just do less and less and less. I got friends. I don't even talk to them anymore. That you know, they've gotten so out of shape, and I don't even say, because they cut my neck off, my head off anytime I say something. So I just don't say anything to them anymore.
Right, exactly, and that's a shame. Mm-hmm. Because we can't do that. We got to try to.
Yeah.
We got to try in our own special way. In particular, if you're a very dear friend, you know, it's a dear friend, and you know that this is the right answer, Earl. You've been watching it mature over the years, you know, 40, 50 years now, Earl. You know, you've seen this whole trend, and you know now it's not a trend. It's a lifestyle change that has to be made for the benefit of society, or we're just going to be sitting around being fat asses.
Yeah.
I mean, fat people. Heavy.
I told to a couple of people, I said, you know, we better not have another revolution, because if we do, we're in trouble.
The sedentary revolution.
Yeah.
That's an oxymoron for you.
Yeah.
The sedentary population trying to have a revolution. That's a good one.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you. We'll see if we can get you back on again next week, buddy.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Earl. Okay. Everybody, train hard and smart. Give us a call if you need anything at 517-944-5100. We'll help you out.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Bye-bye, Earl.
Bye-bye. And that's Steve Morgan talking health and physical fitness here, right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
Don Waters' dad left for good when he was 3 years old. He sent him a card and a check for $50 when he turned 18. But on his deathbed, he wrote his son a short memoir where Don found a deeply flawed but fascinating figure, someone, to his surprise, he connected with. I'm Neil Conan, a message from a missing parent. Don Waters joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The weather forecast today will be sunny and the high will be in the upper 70s. Overnight, a low of 58 and mostly clear. Sunny and warmer Thursday, the high 84 degrees. And
okay, we'll go back. Give us a call. We'll be open line for the rest of the hour. 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.com. michiganstate.org. Well, Aaron, I'm going to put you to work a little bit. Look up, see how Michigan State's doing. The last score I checked before I came on the air, the score was 1-1 in the first of the Big Ten tournament baseball games. Michigan State is playing Nebraska in the opening round of the tournament. The game kicked off at noon, so should be a few innings left now, but it was 1-1 at that time. So give us an update on the score, and then we're going to tell you we've got a couple of cuts, as you know, to bring from the baseball game from last night at the Diamond Classic. So, but you need to give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870, whether it's the Tiger. Yeah, I listened to a really shaky game that the Tigers announcers were frustrated last night, which was amazing. I mean, Abaldo Amanis, who was a pretty good pitcher when he was in Colorado, has just become an average pitcher here in Cleveland. But he walked eight batters last night, gave up, I think, four hits and six innings. He was just lucky that – and the Tigers won the game. And I mean, no, the Cleveland Indians won the game 5-3. The Tigers did not hit the ball. They didn't make any timely hits, key hits, and they couldn't take advantage of all those walks that Abaldo had given up. So we just don't know what's wrong with the Tigers. And I don't think just changing the managers, that would help it at all. But, you know, I know a lot of you think that could be the solution. Well, my solution would be let the Tigers hopefully can start hitting, and hopefully the pitchers can start pitching better on a consistent basis. They need to do both. They need to hit regularly and pitch pretty good. So maybe we'll see that one day. But right now, it's hard to see the Tigers doing any good pitching and hitting and playing defense. You got to do all three to have a winning team. And they're not doing all three. They've done them at parts in games at times, but they haven't done them night in and night out on a regular basis. And that's what you've got to master. However you get out there, how many times you get out there, everybody has to be on the same page and and put forth the same effort. That's for sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about the last night, the pitching. We saw a shell last night, when Lansing Catholic won their game last night. They beat Bath and they shut them out, and Dylan Rush pitched a shutout game last night. We heard a little bit from Dylan Rush, and here's his comments on pitching a shutout last night.
Start with the fastball, and then curveball was decent today, and then a couple times changeup, but it all starts with the fastball. I just listened to my catcher.
And then manager Mike Scott, he talked about the game overall. How was the defense overall?
Well, I thought we played very good defense tonight. I thought it turned a double play, made a nice play to get a guy out of third base. Questionable whether he should have run. But, yeah, I thought we played errorless baseball, and that helps. When the pitcher's throwing strikes, you play an errorless baseball, you usually win.
And you got timely hitting.
And we got timely hitting. Wrap it all up. It's a good day.
And it was a great day for Lansing Catholic last night. East Lansing also won, so the team East Lansing beat Charlotte, so they were the winners last night. Lansing Catholic over Bath, and East Lansing beat Charlotte, so those were the winners in last night. And the Diamond Classic will resume tomorrow night, and on Thursday, so we'll see that on Thursday. You'll see Grand Ledge in Hassalett going on Thursday, and you'll see East Lansing will be going also going on Thursday against Holt. So a couple of good games, good matchups on Thursday night. So you will be able to see that, right? You'll be able to see those coming up on Thursday. And did you like the games we saw? Aaron went with me for the first time. And did you like the high school games last night, Aaron?
Yeah, actually, I haven't been to a high school baseball game in forever, so it was nice and to actually see kind of where it's at, and I'm not from around here originally, mm-hmm. so having a sort of different perspective as far as it's interesting to see how different it is in different areas. So that, yeah, no, but they were good games.
And the ballpark tomorrow, the Kirshner Park, is a lot smaller, of course, than Olds Park. And in tomorrow night's game, they'll look like they're pretty packed. They'll look like the ballpark will look packed. The kids will be excited. I mean, it's a smaller park, but kids will be excited. And they play such good baseball, fundamental baseball. They'll be excited, even though everyone likes us to play in the minor league park, in the big park there. And so if they'll they'll be there. And that's the thing. When you plan that big party, it like you asked me the other last night, it does change your perspective of the game. I played down there one time, played softball there one time, and boy, it makes everything look bigger.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, and we noticed that with the outfielders, a couple of them misread them, and I'd be curious to know if they would have misread them normally, you know, where they normally played, I guess a normal size field for high school, because outfield used to be my position, and I know sometimes when you'd play in fields that may have been a little bigger, it threw you off a little bit, yeah. You know. It's probably different, and that's something you have to adjust to. But I think for the most part, as far as infield is concerned, it's pretty much, I would think that probably wouldn't throw off most of the players, though. Mostly the outfield, I would say.
Yeah, I know in basketball, that different lighting, when you come from playing in a high school gym and then you're playing in Breslin or someplace like that, it's a different, totally different perspective there. So that's a change. When you go to a bigger venue, you just have to look at things differently because you're just going to see things a little bit differently. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you just have to get used to it. But, I mean, I think all players will agree that it's worth it because you get a lot of experience. And, you know, if you're lucky enough and good enough that you may be there again one day, you know, whether it's college level or whatever the case is, you could be there again. And maybe during that time, if you're ever there again, you kind of have that experience in your back pocket and it would definitely help in the future, that's for sure. I just want to give you an update.
Yes.
Michigan State versus Nebraska. Michigan State is all over them. They are up 9-2.
Wow.
In the sixth inning, they've scored 5 runs here in the sixth. So Michigan State looks like they should hold off and win this one. They're up 9-2 right now in the sixth.
It's a double elimination tournament, so they're off to a great start. Nebraska scored the first run, I can tell you that. And then Michigan State came back and tied a 1-1 when I left the game in I think it was the top of the third inning when I heard. So yeah, 9-3 now. Well, that's really, really good. Michigan State's off to a great start, and so they'll be moving on. It's a double elimination tournament, so Nebraska will be put in the loser's bracket, and they'll have to try to win, come up through theirs. But they've got a tough road to hold now, when losing that first game. That's tough. It's six games. You can play. Play 5 altogether, not 6, but you can play 5 if you make it through the whole thing. That's going to be tough. So for Michigan State, they've got a great chance. Even if they don't if you win the Big Ten tournament, you got an automatic bid to the NCAA. But they might get an at-large bid if they don't win. In Michigan State, I mean, the Big Ten might have 2 or maybe even 3 teams get at-large bids, the tournament winner, and then 2 teams outside of that. So they could have 3 teams invited to the big show. So if three teams going to the NCAA, that would be great for the Big Ten. So got to keep my fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll see more than one team. Usually just one team gets in and year out, and that would be nice if more than one team can get invited to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I actually saw a bracket, I think last week, a mock-up of the tournament, and they had Michigan State in without even having them win the Big Ten tournament, which was good to see. So
yeah.
I forget which area they had them in, but they had them in a certain spot that they were in. They weren't even on the bubble, so they had them in with. So that's good, and it looks like, you know, if they put a good showing here in the Big Ten tournament, I think they'll be in. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, that would be great because I think I seen that same one, and it had them out west. I think out in Spokane, somewhere out there. So, yes, if they can get in, I know they don't care where they go. They just want to get in because the Big Ten in Michigan State hasn't been in for a long, long time. So I know that would be great for Jake Boss and in his third year coaching here, take the team to the big dance like that, get them to the NCAA tournament. That would be wonderful. So give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, we need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.com. Sports.org. And Aaron, maybe you have to go over to see Jack Ebling in his book signing tomorrow. Have Jack sign your book there.
that would be interesting. I mean, I think you got an advanced copy, or you got a copy already. So yeah. I was kind of skimming through it yesterday. Yeah, there's some interesting stories. I mean, I don't know a lot of the history of the Tigers, but it's interesting to see that he pinpoints, you know, some of the major players, some of the great stories, and some of the things that, you know, I'm sure a lot of fans, you know, they may know these players, but they don't maybe know the stories behind them, which is good to see. So it's nice that he's going to be in town and able to kind of talk about it and get the book signed. So, yeah, maybe I'll have to get it signed there.
Yeah, because Jack's been around a long time. He's probably a little bit older than me, even though he'd say he'll say he's a little bit younger. But, you know, he loves to needle me that I'm probably the oldest guy around here. So that's okay. I take it, even though, you know, he loves to dish it out. That's what he loves to do. He loves to kid me on the fact that I'm a little bit older. I kid him because he's a little bit older than he even lets on. That's for sure. Give us a call. Talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 as we're talking a little baseball today, and we got to start talking. We got to start talking football soon. You know, with the Lions coming to camp, we'll be really zooming in on the Detroit Lions soon and talking about them and about their hopes and dreams. As you know, 10-6 last year, and they're expecting, and they're assuming that they're going to do even better than what they did last year. I'm just hoping that they'll do better than what they did last year. A lot of people are expecting them to do better. It's a good young team. It is a good young team. Hopefully they won't regress. Do you think they're going to do better when you look at the team? And overall, do you think, can they hold their own? I'm thinking they're going to probably win one more game than they won last year. But you know, it's going to be, you know, they can't. Last year they snuck up on everyone. They won't be able to sneak up on anybody this year.
No, they are under the light this year. They have numerous primetime games, numerous ESPN. I think they got at least one Monday night football or Sunday night football, and maybe another one too. But I expect them to be right where they were last year. Maybe win one more game. As long as Stafford stays healthy and everyone else, you know, the main players stay healthy, I think they'll be just fine. But, you know, Stafford was healthy all season long last year for the most part, except that finger problem there for a couple games. Obviously, we've seen what he can do. So, I expect him to be right in contention with the division. I expect him to make the playoffs, barring more offseason woes, which they've been having this year. I expect him to be contending just fine, and ESPN just had a weird thing story. They had a thing where they were projecting rankings for 2015, and they had the Lions like sixth or seventh already. So, ESPN does weird things already for 2015. I don't see how you could project that far in advance, but the Lions are they're getting more recognition. They've turned it around, obviously, and I expect them to have a fine season and continue that for years to come. So,
you don't believe in that. Sports Illustrated drink jinx to you with Calvin Johnson appearing on the Madden cover.
No, I don't believe it. That's just a coincidence. He's too good. He's too in shape. He's too strong. He proved that last year. No, I don't believe it. I think the Lions will be just fine. Now, unfortunately, if it does happen and he does get injured, maybe I will take my word back and admit that I was wrong.
Okay. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank a few of you for calling. I want to thank you and tell you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday, 1:05 to 2:00 right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we want you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling. And we want you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening. And join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.